This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. With another hour of old-time radio crime, this is Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll begin this week with some Sherlock Holmes. We'll hear the Peridol Chamber, their story from May 21st, 1945. After that, it's the search for Jim Gray from Boston Blackie. That episode aired January 21st, 1947.
Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbun and Nigel Bruce in the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The Petri family, the family that took time to bring you good wine, invite you to listen to Dr. Watson tell about another exciting adventure he shared with his old friend, that master detective, Sherlock Holmes. Of course, I can't be as entertaining as Dr. Watson, but I can tell you something that's really worth knowing. Simply this. The best beginning a good meal ever had is a glass of Petri California Sherry. Petri Sherry is the perfect before-dinner wine. While you're waiting for dinner to be put on the table, pour yourself a glass of that clear, amber-colored Petri Sherry. Now, just sit back and sip it slowly. Take your time so you can thoroughly enjoy every single drop of that wonderful Petri flavor. And what a flavor that sherry has. Comes right from the sun-ripened heart of wonderful California grapes. Now, you may be a real wine expert and know all about sherry wine, but believe me, until you've tried a Petri sherry, you're really missing something, and no kidding. Serve Petri sherry alone, or serve it with canapés or appetizers. And by all means, serve it proudly. You can, because the letters P-E-T-R-I... spell the proudest name in the history of American wines, Petri. And now for our weekly visit with the good Dr. Watson. Let's see if he's expecting us.
Come in, come in, come in.
Ah, good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Campbell. It's about time you got here. Drop a chair and make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thanks. Well, you have the old black dispatch box out again, I see. I suppose you've been going over your notes on tonight's adventure.
Yeah, that's right, my boy. And this may interest you. Mrs. Watson figured prominently in the story.
She did?
Yes, in fact, if it hadn't been for some remarkably quick thinking on her part, Holmes and I might have... Well, there I go again, telling you the end of the story before I've begun it.
Well, how did it begin, Doctor?
On a winter evening in 1887... I'd been married some months, and in consequence, I hadn't seen much of my old friend Sherlock Holmes.
Well, you're still living at Baker Street, I suppose.
Yes, my boy, but we couldn't persuade him to come round and see us. From time to time, I'd heard some vague accounts of his doings, of his summons to Odessa in the case of the Trepoff murder, and of his clearing up the singular tragedy of the Atkinson brothers. But to get back to tonight's story, my wife and I had just finished an excellent dinner. I remember we'd settled ourselves down for an evening of pleasant domesticity. She was stitching away on a piece of expert petit pois, and I was at my desk balancing figures in the family account book. After a few moments, my wife looked up to me and...
Son, dear, don't look so troubled.
Oh, was I looking troubled?
Well, you've been scowling at that account book for 10 minutes now. What's the matter, dear? Don't the figures add up correctly?
Oh, yes, yes, they add up correctly. In fact, they tell a very pretty story. After buying my practice and setting up all my outstanding accounts, I find that we have nearly £150 left of the dowry that Mr. Sholto settled upon you.
160, isn't it, dear? I was doing the same sum this morning.
Oh, well, but it is 160. In any case, Mary, dear, the point I was going to make is that we don't need the money just now. My practice is picking up splendidly, and I was thinking that we might invest it in something really sound, of course.
Who's been talking to you, John? Dr. Wilson again.
Well... as it happens, I did bump into him at the hospital today. He can put us onto something very good in Peruvian silver. What do you think of the idea?
Well, John, the fact is, I'd almost decided to make a business investment with him myself. I thought I'd surprise you.
Well,
Now, let me tell you about it, John.
Oh.
Yesterday, when you were out on your rounds, a most charming man called here.
Oh,
Mr. Ted Barber. He introduced himself as a friend of Mrs. Cecil Forrester's.
Well.
He said he was certain we'd be interested in his new company. And he talked so convincingly that... Well, I'm afraid I almost promised him I'd buy some stock in the company.
Did you really? What sort of company is it?
Well, I didn't quite understand that part of it. But it sounded wonderful. He left a prospectus. It's in the right-hand drawer of the desk. It's something to do with a wonderful new metal that's been discovered by an American chemist called Paradil or Parades or something.
Oh, let's have a look, Jude. It says, a company formed to exploit the amazing new metal discovered by Dr. Parades. Paradol preferred stock. The potentialities of this new alloy are measurable. The fourth dimension has been conquered. What? Spatial dislocation is an accomplished fact. Oh, gracious me, my dear child. This prospectus is absolute poppycock.
Now, John, you mustn't be stubborn. I think at least we should investigate. The man said that if we went to the laboratories, Dr. Parades would give us a demonstration himself.
But Mary dear, the fourth dimension. I mean to say, it's obviously fraud.
That's what everyone says when a new invention comes out. Now, this might be an opportunity for us to make a lot of money, John.
Mary, I do wish
to... please me, dear?
Well, I can't argue with you for very long, Mary. All right. I'll take you to the laboratory in the morning, but I warn you, I'll show this Dr. Parades up for the charlatan that he is.
Dr. Parades will be with you both in a moment.
Thank you, my man.
She's just concluding an experiment.
She?
Dr. Parades is a woman, then?
Oh, yes, madam, and a very brilliant one, too. Excuse me.
Oh, it's a last straw. The whole thing sounded like an obvious fraud, and now we get here and find that a woman doctor's at the back of it all.
Just because she's a woman, it doesn't mean to say that...
How do you do? I'm Dr. Parades.
Oh, how do you do, madam? I'm Dr. Watson, and this is my wife, Mrs. Watson.
Oh, yes. Come into the laboratory, won't you?
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Parades.
Well, we're just wasting your time. We're not really interested in this at all, you know.
John, don't mutter.
Well, Mr. Barber told me that he had called on you, Mrs. Watson, and that you were very interested in my invention.
Oh, yes, I am. That's why I persuaded my husband to come down with me and see a demonstration.
I'll be most happy to show you everything I can. Here's a practical example of the application of my work. This chamber you see in front of you is made completely of my new alloy.
Oh, what's the thing do? It's just a great metal box with a lot of dials and switches and things. Why is it so big? Do people get inside it?
They can.
What?
Though if they do, they're liable to find themselves transported many miles from here. Come inside, won't you?
Oh, what a lot of nonsense.
Now, John.
Before I give you a demonstration, I want you both to see that there is no exit from inside this chamber. No trapdoors or anything. The only exit is the door we just came through.
Yes, it's just like an airtight metal room.
Stuffy in here, isn't it?
Now let's go outside again. I'll show you how the machine operates. Albert!
Yes, Dr. Parades.
I'm going to demonstrate the Paradol chamber to Dr. and Mrs. Watson.
Very well. The usual time?
Yes, please, Albert. Now, my assistant goes inside the chamber. I close this metal door on him, so...
What are you going to do with him?
Within a matter of seconds, he will be 7 miles from here.
Really, madam,
you can't expect us to believe... you're a scientific man. At least give me the opportunity of demonstrating my work.
I'm sorry.
Now, I adjust these dials, turn on the electrical generator, and...
Good Lord, what an amazing business.
Now, open the door, Dr. Watson, and look inside, please.
Great Scott, he's gone. I don't believe it. Dr. Parades, will you explain this to me?
Gladly. My metal Paradol is an unnatural alloy.
What?
It causes a dislocation in the warp of space and enables us to enter the fourth dimension. You see, time is a dimension. Any object in the past, present, or future can be described precisely in 3 dimensions of space and 1 of time.
Yes, but this machine of yours...
The alloy of Paradol, combined with the great forces of electricity, has created a new force. This element is controlled by these dials, and it is possible to move in 4 dimensions at once. Thus, bodies or other objects can be transported great distances away, all in the twinkling of an eye. I coined a word to describe the process. Teleportation, I call it.
Teleportation? Well, I'm completely confused. All my scientific training tells me this is impossible, and yet... I wonder if you'd give us another demonstration.
Certainly. Perhaps you yourself would like to be teleported somewhere.
Certainly not. Gracious, we know.
No, I think John would be very unhappy in the fourth dimension. He wouldn't belong.
Yes, you said that any objects could be moved. How about that brown paper parcel on the table over there?
Certainly. It only contains some company circulars. I suggest you write your initials on it so that you can identify it later.
Oh, very well. J.H.W. There you are.
Where do you want it dispatched to?
Send it to my house. I'll give you the address.
That won't be necessary.
Mary, this is an amazing business.
Isn't it, John? Exciting, too.
There we are. Now I adjust the dials once more, and... Parcel is already at your house.
Oh, it's impossible. Come on, Mary. Let's get a cab and race back there as fast as we can. Well,
yes,
goodbye,
dear.
Doctor.
Goodbye,
Now, dear. John, you must admit you're just as excited as I am.
Well, I confess that I'm enormously intrigued. Let me just get my latch front door key. Here we are. Dr. Paradis is a devilishly clever woman. Even so, my intelligence tells me it's impossible for the package to have reached here before us. Ah, here we are.
Ah, there you are, Master. Mum, just in time for lunch.
Tell me, Annie, did a package arrive for us?
Oh, yes, it did, Mum. I put it on the old table.
Great Scott. How was it delivered, Annie?
Well, now, that's the funny thing about it, sir. I don't know. I went out to polish the brass on the door knocker a few minutes ago, and there was the parson, lying on the doorstep. No one had rung the bell or anything. I didn't know how it got there.
Thank you, Annie. You can go now.
Yes, Mum.
Well, John, what do you say now?
That a miracle's been performed. I don't believe my eyes. Look, there are my initials on the package. Mary, I think that if you don't mind, after lunch I'll...
You'll go around to Baker Street and tell Sherlock Holmes about this.
Oh, do you mind, dear?
Of course not, dear.
Good. It'll be nice to see Holmes again anyway.
Dr. Watson, how nice to see you again.
Hello, Mrs. Hudson. How are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm just fine. Oh, you're looking grand, sir. Marriage agrees with you, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Is Mr. Holmes in?
Aye, sir. And I'm very glad you're seeing him. He's no been acting like himself lately.
Oh, really?
Locking his door, and only unlocking it for me when I give him a password. And he's hardly touched his food for the last 3 days. To tell you the truth, Dr. Watson, I'm awful worried about him.
Really? Well, I'll go up to him.
He'll be glad to see you, I'm sure.
Yes? Who is it?
It's me, Watson.
Watson? Oh, possibly. I'm not taking any chances.
Holmes, this is ridiculous. Surely you know my voice after all these years.
John H. Watson. Tell me what your middle initials stand for, and I'll let you in.
It stands for Hamish.
Watson, my dear fellow. How are you?
I'm fine and delighted to see you again, Holmes. Incidentally, why all this rigmarole about locked doors and passwords?
Well, Professor Moriarty has decided that it's high time to settle his score with me. There have been several attempts on my life lately. Twice I've been attacked in the streets, and only yesterday a shot was fired at me through the window you see broken there.
Lord Holmes, you must be careful.
I am being very careful. That's why I indulged in what you refer to as all this rigmarole. But, well, enough of my problems. What's on your mind? There's a sparkle in your eye and an air of excitement that tells me that you've some news to impart.
Well, I must say there is something.
Of course there is, my dear fellow. Come on, tell me about it.
You ever heard of a new metal called Paradol and its inventor, Dr. Paradis?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed I have. I received a prospectus concerning it the other day.
Well, what do you think of the idea?
Oh, obviously, it's rubbish designed to fool a gullible public into buying shares. Don't tell me that you were taking advice.
Oh, no, of course not, Holmes. Naturally, as a scientific man, I knew it was rubbish. My wife, however, had become a little involved in the concern. And so today, to prove to her that the whole thing was a fraud, we went down to the laboratory and met this Dr. Paradis.
Oh, did you indeed?
In the first place, let me tell you, this Dr. Paradis is a woman.
Oh, a woman?
As you can imagine, I didn't have any difficulty in discrediting her theories. In fact, I'm afraid I made her seem rather stupid. However, we did stay there long enough for her to give us a demonstration. And that's the way that it was, Holmes. When we got back to our house, the initial package was there, waiting for us.
Oh, childish trick. Obviously, the Paradol chamber contains an ingeniously hidden trap door, through which the assistant disappeared and later the package. A fast cab then took it to your home before you could get there.
Oh, yes, oh, really? Well, Yes, of course, that's exactly how I explained the thing to Mary.
Was she impressed with the feat?
Yes, she was. But you know how women are. I tried to tell her the whole thing was a fraud. She's very obstinate. I was hoping perhaps that you will help me expose the concern.
Oh, hardly seem necessary, old fellow. That's an obvious fraud. However, for your sake, I'll be glad to do anything I can.
Well, I thought we might go down to the laboratory late tonight when nobody's there and take a look at that Paradol chamber a little more closely.
Yes, rather good idea. After being cooped up here for 3 days, it'll be a pleasure to get some night air and indulge in a little simple burglarizing.
Well, shall I call for you here?
No. Wait a minute, dear fellow. It's much too dangerous. I'll be in a hansom cab outside your house about 11:30 tonight. How's that?
Splendid. Quite like old times, isn't it, Holmes?
Yes, it is, old chap, though I think that this time, for Mrs. Watson's sake, I must try and keep you out of trouble.
Midnight, Holmes.
Yes, Watson. Time that only confirmed old bachelors like myself should be wandering the streets of London.
Oh, rubbish, Holmes. You talk as if Mary was a tyrant.
Now, don't get angry with me, old chap. I was only being facetious. Is this Dr. Paradis' laboratory?
Yes. I'd like to be seen. I don't imagine it'll be very hard to break in, though.
Strike a match, will you? I took the precaution of bringing this lantern.
There you are.
Thanks, old fellow.
Is the door locked?
Yes, but I think a skeleton key will do the trick. Hold this lantern for a second, will you?
Here you are.
Oh, this is child's play so far. Come on.
There's the Paradol chamber over there.
Uh-huh. Give me the lantern again, old chap, will you? Thanks. Mm-hmm. Quite an elaborate contraption.
The door's been left open. Let's go in and take a look at the inside of it.
Ah, not both of us, Watson. If this is the only entrance and the two of us walked in, it'd be too easy to slam the door shut on us.
I suppose so. You go in and I'll keep watch out here.
All right. Oh, I trust that in a few minutes I won't find myself lying on your doorstep.
Holmes, there are times when your sense of humor is a little strained. Holmes, you all right?
Watson!
What is it, Holmes?
The body of a dead woman. She's been shot. Unless I'm much mistaken.
Let me come and look.
1,000 to 1, it's Dr. Paradis.
Yes, it is.
Watson, get out of here. Don't you see the...
Good Lord, someone has slammed the door shut on us.
Yes, my dear fellow. We walked into a trap very neatly. I'm afraid that we're imprisoned in what appears to be an airtight metal chamber, and the only person who can help us to get out of it again is a corpse.
Dr. Watson's story will continue in just a few seconds. It's time for me to remind you that good food always tastes better when served together with good wine. Did you know that Petri makes 2 wonderful mealtime wines? Wines especially made to go with food? Well, they do. Petri California Burgundy and Petri California Sauterne. If you want a rich, hearty red wine, a wine that's great with any meat or meat dish, you just try a Petri Burgundy. And if you want a wine that's perfect with chicken or fish, try a delicate golden-colored Petri Sauterne. Petri Burgundy if you want a red wine, Petri Sauterne if you want white. But always a Petri wine if you want a good wine. Now back to tonight's new Sherlock Holmes adventure. It is in the early hours of a winter's morning in 1887... The famous pair, while investigating the mysteries of a scientific laboratory in the East End of London, have been trapped in an airtight metal cabinet, their only companion being the dead body of a woman scientist. As we rejoin our story, Sherlock Holmes and his old friend Dr. Watson are listening intently as footsteps approach what appears to be their metal coffin.
There's someone outside. They're sliding back the metal panel.
Good evening, gentlemen.
That voice, it's Dr. Paradis's assistant. Let us out of here.
Or should I be more precise, Mr. Holmes, and say good morning?
Hello, Moriarty.
Moriarty, you scoundrel. I can just get my hands on him.
Dr. Watson, I wish you could get over your dislike for me. For my own part, I'm genuinely sorry that my trap had to catch you, too. I've often felt unhappy that you're not on my side. Such slavish admiration of you, given your friend Sherlock Holmes, must be highly gratifying.
There's none of mine about all that. What do you think you're up to?
It's obvious, my dear Watson. The whole scheme was a plan to lure me out of my safe hiding by presenting an intriguing problem, and one that victimized the wife of my old friend.
You knew it would get back to my ears, didn't you, Moriarty?
Yes, exactly.
But why did you murder this Paradis woman?
That's equally obvious, my dear Watson. It served her purpose in presenting a most convincing scientific front. As soon as the trap was baited, she was a liability. She might tell tales, and so she was killed. Like so many other of your accomplices, my dear Professor.
Precisely. Now, my dear fellows, I'm afraid that I must close this panel and say goodbye. Quite sorry to have to kill you, but you're becoming dreadfully in my way.
And how do you plan to kill us, Moriarty?
By doing nothing more than closing this panel. Oh, I could be frightfully dramatic and release deadly gases into the chamber, or poisonous snakes, or something equally colorful. But quite frankly, it seems so much simpler just to shut you in. Your oxygen supply won't last very long, you know. And for your benefit, Dr. Watson, I may tell you that Peridol, whatever its other shortcomings as a metal, is bulletproof. Goodbye, you meddling fools!
There seems nothing for us to do but look around and ascertain our chances of escape.
Holmes, I don't like this. We're in a very nasty situation.
My dear Watson, sometimes you're a master of understatement. Aha, just as I thought.
What have you found, Holmes?
Sliding panel, just behind the dead woman. It leads us to a passageway. A passageway that has been bricked up only within the last few hours. But long enough, I'm afraid, to make it impossible. No, there's no escape here. Hold the lantern a little higher, will you, Jack?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, what are we going to do now?
I was just estimating the cubic capacity of this chamber. The air supply should last comfortably for at least another 8 hours. I recommend a brief sleep to refresh us and also to conserve our oxygen supply.
Sleep? Who could sleep at a time like this?
I can and you can, old chap, if you discipline yourself.
Well, I'll try, Holmes, but I know perfectly well I shan't close my eyes.
Wake up, Watson. Wake up.
Yes, Mary dear. Oh, it's you. Oh, we're still in this infernal trap.
I'm afraid so, old chap.
What time is it?
Just after 7 in the morning.
How long did you estimate our oxygen supply would last?
Probably about another hour.
Well, it's just possible that some worker will come to the laboratory early and let us out.
I shouldn't count too much on that if I were you.
Oh, I suppose not. I say, Holmes, I'm famished.
Yes, I thought you would be, my dear chap. So I saved you this half of a bar of chocolate. I ate my own share just before you were awakened.
Oh, thanks, my dear fellow. Did you sleep too, Holmes?
No, I didn't, Watson. I employed my time in conducting a minute examination of this chamber. I was trying to find some possible way of getting out.
And you failed, eh?
I'm afraid so.
Holmes, this looks like the end, doesn't it? Well, if it is my time to die, I'm glad that we're together again. Although I blame myself entirely for letting you into the trap.
Come now, my dear fellow. Don't take it as badly as that.
But you admitted you're defeated and that there's no possible way out of this distance.
I meant that there's no way out from the inside. So my plan worked.
Good gracious me. What on earth?
Lestrade! Lestrade, there you are.
Mary! Mary, you dear little thing. You must have been frightened to death.
Hello, John. Poor dear, you must have spent a miserable night.
Well, 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 well. Mr. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson have been getting themselves in trouble again, eh?
Sir, this is no time for your heavy-handed badinage. There's the body of a murdered woman inside that chamber. She was killed by Professor Moriarty.
Professor Moriarty?
It's too bad you didn't get my message sooner.
Your message?
Oh, bless myself, Holmes. I wish you'd tell me how you got your message to Scotland Yard.
Well, ever since these recent attacks on my life, I've had my delightful band of ragamuffins, the Baker Street Irregulars, watching my house in fixed watches, two at a time. I gave the boys instructions to follow me whenever I went out. And if ever I did not reappear within 3 hours, they were to report to our friend Lestrade at Scotland Yard.
Holmes, you're amazing. You think of everything.
Just a minute, gentlemen. Just a minute. I didn't get no message from any of your Baker Street Irregulars.
Oh, you didn't?
No, sir. Though I did find a couple of the boys tied up when we came in here just
but
now.
If you didn't get a message from them, how did you come here so opportunely?
That's an easy one, because Mrs. Watson here came and fetched me.
You did, Mary, but how on earth?
Go on, Mom. Huh? Tell them.
Well, it's really very simple. When John came back from seeing you yesterday, Mr. Holmes, He was over-elaborately casual in his references to the peridol chamber. So, of course, I knew at once the two of you were going to investigate the matter. I also caught him oiling his revolver after dinner. I didn't know that you slipped out last night, John. But as soon as I woke up this morning, I realized what had happened. So I went straight to Scotland Yard for Inspector Lestrade and brought him here with me.
Why, Mary, you clever little thing. Isn't she a clever darling, Holmes?
Mrs. Watson, this has been a salutary experience. Will you allow me to congratulate you on your deductive ability?
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Holmes, but I really don't deserve any compliments, if you don't mind my saying so. It was elementary, my dear Mr. Holmes. Elementary.
This is Bob Campbell saying good night for the Petrie family. This program comes to you from our Hollywood studios. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Mr. Adams, please.
Mr. Adams, one moment, please.
Adams speaking.
Yes, Mr. Adams, go ahead, sir.
Hello, Mr. Adams, this is John Rodney.
Oh, hello, Rodney. Where are you calling from?
Terre Haute this time, but I got here too late. Jim Gary worked here, all right, but that was 3 years ago.
Oh, too bad. Any idea where he went, though?
It seems he went on from here to Birmingham. He must have still had the jewels with him. They never turned up here. I'll phone you again from Birmingham. Hello, Mr. Adams. This is Rodney in Birmingham.
Oh, yes, Rodney. Any luck?
Well, he's not in Birmingham, but he was 6 months ago. Seems he was mixed up in a shooting here similar to the killing in Omaha 6 years ago.
Another jewel case, eh?
No, not this time. No jewels were taken.
Well, where to now, or are you giving up?
I'm never going to give up, Mr. Adams. I'll find him.
But how'll you know him when you do? You still have no positive identification.
Well, I may get it. I just found out that he had a grandmother in Greensboro. If she's still alive, maybe she can tell me something about him. I'll phone you again from there. Hello, Mr. Adams.
Yes?
This is Rodney in Greensboro.
Oh, hello, Rodney. Did you find Jim Gary's grandmother?
Yeah, I found her all right.
Good.
But she couldn't tell me much about him. She's old, very feeble, practically can't see.
I hope you didn't tell her that her grandson is wanted for robbery and murder.
No, I couldn't. I said I was an old school friend of his. And we got a break, Mr. Adams. She gave me a picture of him.
A picture? That's the one thing we've needed all these years. Good work, Rodney.
Thanks, but that isn't all. His grandmother says the last she heard of him, he was in New York. She thinks he's still there. I'm taking a plane out of here this afternoon. I think I'll find him at last, Mr. Adams.
It won't be easy, Rodney. New York is a big city.
Yeah, but I got Jim Gary's picture now. And I've trailed him for 5 years without it. If he isn't in New York, I'll find him somewhere else. I'll never give up.
And now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Jody, I have to hide behind that newspaper all afternoon. Can't you talk to me a little? I'm lonesome.
What do you mean you're lonesome, Jean? Don't I sit home with you all day?
Yeah, with a newspaper in front of your face. That's charming, isn't it? You read all day and you're never home at night.
No? Well, isn't that too bad? What do we do for money if I stayed home 24 hours a day? Where do you think your clothes come from, the 5
oh,
and 10?
Get it,
the kind
you?
Of work I do pays good money, and I do a good job, too.
All right.
Hey, there's something in the paper here about the job I did night before last.
Yes, I know. I saw it. An old man was killed in that fire, Joe.
So? Was that my fault?
You set the fire.
Come here, you.
Joe, let go of me.
I ought to do more than slap you. And I will next time you say that out loud.
I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to.
You don't mean to do a lot of things.
Look, Joe, I don't have to take a beating from you. I know too much about you, who you are and where you're from.
You.
Don't you hit me again, Joe, ever. You're a professional firebug and a murderer, and I can prove it, too. I can tell the police all about you and your past.
Let me tell you something about your future, baby. You're the only one in the world who knows who I really am, and that's no good. I'd forget it if I were you, and quick. Before people forget you ever lived, baby.
Get that alarm box number, will you, Bill?
Yeah, sure, Lieutenant.
Probably not for us. But you can never tell where that firebug's going to strike next.
It's box 234, Lieutenant. Not in our district. Wonder if the police will ever catch that nut, Lieutenant, huh?
I think they will. There's a man killed in that fire night before last. He'll get the guy who set that fire and get him for murder, too.
Well, I sure hope to get him soon.
Hi, Lieutenant.
Hey, look who's coming into the firehouse. It's our old friend Blackie.
And my friend Mary Wesley. Hello there, fool.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Wesley, how are you? It's been so long since you and Blackie been down here, I was afraid maybe you preferred police headquarters.
Oh, there's more excitement here, but more fun down there when Inspector Faraday starts talking. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Blackie. Miss Wesley.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, the phone, Bill. Get it, will you?
Yeah, sure, Lieutenant.
Having a lot of trouble with that firebug, Lieutenant?
Yeah, plenty, Blackie. But the police won't let him run loose long.
I hope not.
What? Yeah, you bet. Hey, Lieutenant, fire in a rooming house at 624 Cannon Street. Big one.
Bill, ring the verbal alarm button. So long, Miss Wesley.
Come on, Mary. Let's get out of here. So long, Lieutenant.
So long, Blackie.
Hey, Lieutenant. The alarm was sent in from box 454. That's on the corner near 624 Cannon Street, all right?
Well, let's get out.
All right. All right, you guys.
Come on, get a move on, you fellas. Driver at 624 Cannon Street. Fire. Outside and stop traffic. Quick. Smith, run on that marsh light. Come on, get out! Get out!
Blackie, why do we have to stop by your apartment when it would be much more fun going by that fire on Kenner Street?
There are three reasons, Mary. It's against the law to follow fire engines. I have to pick up my mail, and we have a theater date in 45 minutes.
Oh, but I just love fires.
Hey, wait a minute, Mary. You aren't the firebug they're looking for, are you?
Well,
No, second thought. You don't look at... Say, what's this on the floor?
Looks like a piece of paper.
It's not only a piece of paper, it's a note.
From the doorman that just went off duty.
Harry doesn't trust anyone with messages for you, does he? What's this one about?
It doesn't seem to be anything important. Mr. John Rodney was here to see me. He says I can get in touch with him at 624 Kenner Street.
Who's John Rodney?
I don't know. Never heard of him. There's certainly something familiar about that address, 624 Kenner Street.
Blackie, that's where the fire is.
That's right, Mary. Huh. There's a fire at 624 Kenner Street, and I get a note to meet a man at that address. The coincidence is a little too much.
Too much what?
Too much coincidence. And too much to ignore. Come on, Mary, we're going to that fire.
But I thought it was against the law.
It is, but if the police say anything, we'll tell them that they were there by invitation.
Here comes a salvage crew, Inspector Faraday.
A lot it'll have to salvage, Lieutenant. That house is just about gone.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is, Inspector. Probably another arson job, too.
I wouldn't doubt it. We've got to get that firebug and get him fast.
Sure wish we could. This is a fifth fire in the last 2 weeks. And in every one, the building's been almost a total loss.
Yeah, and in that fire the night before last, a man died. Any fatalities this time?
Not that we know of yet. This is a rooming house. The landlord gave us a list of boarders. Yeah. So far, they've all been accounted for, with the exception of... Hey, who's in that car just pulled up?
I don't know, but he better get out of here. Hey, you, keep moving. Get that car out of here before...
Faraday, at last they've got you directing traffic.
Blackie, no, it can't be. Blackie, don't I have enough trouble now?
You know that much?
No.
Now, don't burn up, Faraday. The fire department is busy enough already. Hello there, Lieutenant.
Hello, Blackie.
Beat it, Blackie.
Oh, no, Inspector. Mary and I have an invitation to this fire, and she decided to watch it from the car.
Well, you watch it from your car, too. Only park it on the other side of town.
Oh, now, Faraday, you wouldn't spoil any fun of mine, would you? I just love fire engines. It's all right with you if I hang around, isn't it, Lieutenant?
Yeah, I suppose so. Nothing to see anymore, though, Blackie. We have the fire about under control.
Why did you have Faraday here, Lieutenant? Just for laughs?
You know very well why I'm here, Blackie. There's a firebug loose in this town, and a man was killed in that fire the night before last. But I'm looking for a killer. Who invited you here?
Well, Faraday, somebody left me a note telling me to come to this address.
The firebug sent it, I suppose.
No, I doubt that. It was from a man named John Rodney. Do you know him?
No.
Blackie, did you say John Rodney?
Yes, he lived here, didn't he?
This was a boarding house. A lot of people lived here. And one of them was a John Rodney. I have a list of all the tenants in the building. They're all accounted for except one. And the only one missing is John Rodney.
Police department.
Let me speak to the officer in charge. Hurry.
What do you want to speak to him about, lady?
It's important. It's about those fires.
Huh? The one set by the firebug?
Yes. Now may I speak
just
to him, please?
Just a minute, lady. I'll connect you with the head of the homicide department, Inspector Faraday. Yes?
Inspector Faraday, this is Jean Marsh. I know who's setting those fires, and I have proof, too.
Yeah? How do you know all these things?
Well, there isn't time to tell you. Come to 1414 Well Road, and I'll...
Oh. And you'll what?
Well, I'll explain all about it. You see, it's not as simple as you think.
Look, you know who the firebug is, don't you?
Yes, I mean, no, not exactly. I'm not sure. I'll have to think it over a little more. Goodbye.
Oh. Hello, Jean.
Hello, Joe. I didn't hear you come in.
I know you didn't.
You've been here long?
Long enough.
Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're sorry. So am I. I'm sorry you got something to be sorry about. You were calling the cops about me, weren't you?
Yes, but I didn't...
I heard what you told them. And believe me, you're going to be plenty sorry I did, baby.
And now back to Boston Blackie. John Rodney, insurance investigator, uncovers a picture of fugitive Jim Gary and feels that his 5-year search for the culprit is nearing an end. On his arrival in New York, he takes a room at 624 Kenner Street, then sends a note to Boston Blackie to meet him at that address. A firebug is loose in the city, however, and by the time Blackie gets to 624 Kenner Street, the rooming house is in flames, and Rodney is missing. It is the next morning now, and as we return to our story, the missing Rodney is phoning his home office.
Hello, Mr. Adams.
Yes, this is Adams.
Now, this is Rodney, Mr. Adams, reporting from New York.
Oh, yes, Rodney. How are things going? Any trace of Jim Gary?
Well, not exactly. I want to report that I've been burned out of my room at 624 Kenner Street.
Burned out?
Yeah, last night the whole house went up in flames.
Oh,
I'm okay. Only I got a tough break about Gary's picture.
What do you mean? What's happened to the picture?
Well, it was lost in the fire.
What?
Definitely lost. My papers and extra clothing along with it.
Well, better send me a report on the fire in as much detail as you can. We'll want it for the files.
Well, as a matter of fact, I've just finished typing it up. I'll mail it to you this afternoon.
Good. Well, keep me posted, Rodney.
And don't worry, Mr. Adams. Picture or no picture, I'll get Jim Gary.
Well, good luck to you, Rodney.
Thanks, Mr. Adams. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes?
I'm Boston Blackie. You sent for me, Mr. Rodney?
Oh, yeah, I did, but that was yesterday.
I know, but there was a fire at your address last night, and you weren't at home. And it's taken me until now to find you.
Well, glad that you did. I was just about to call you.
Oh, then you still want to see me, huh?
Well, I just wanted to explain that note of last night. You see, I did have a reason to talk to you then. I had a photograph I wanted to show you.
A photograph? Well, why did you want to show it to me?
Well, I understand you know almost everybody in this town, and I had a picture of a fellow, Jim Gary, wanted in Omaha for murder and robbery 6 years ago.
But why can't you show me the picture now?
It was lost in the fire last night.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
You don't know how bad. It was my only clue to his identity. The only picture, too.
Don't the police have his fingerprints?
No. And I'm not working with the police. I'm with the National Insurance Company.
Oh.
The police gave up the murder trail 5 years ago, but the jewels Gary stole have never shown up.
I see. You think he stashed them somewhere?
Yeah, we're sure that he has. And we're trying to recover them for the claim we paid on them.
And you've been trying for 5 years?
Ever since I've been with the company. And just when I might have been near him, that firebug sets my rooming house ablaze. What a break.
Well, what makes you think the firebug set that fire?
Well, the police think it was the work of a firebug. Don't you?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it was Jim Gary.
Hey, it could be, yeah. I got to town only yesterday, but I did ask a few questions around. Say, maybe one of Gary's cronies got to him and told him I was here and with a picture.
Then he set fire to your rooming house to destroy the picture. It's very simple.
Yeah, you're right, Blackie. I'd better put that in the report I'm making to my company. I want them to be as convinced as I am that I'm close to Gary now. I don't want them to tell me to quit after 5 years.
You're not blaming the firebug in your report, then, but Jim Gary.
Yeah. Would you like to see my report?
Yes, I would.
Here it is.
Thanks. Uh-huh. Fire of obvious incendiary origin. Small frame house went fast. Fire started in second floor corridor just outside northwest room. Papers carrying stories of firebug at work in city. You're going to add the part about Gary, huh?
Yes, I am.
Well, still going to be a tough job finding Jim Gary, whatever he calls himself now. This is a big city.
I know that, Blackie. But I spent 5 years tracing that guy, and now I'm positive I've caught up with him. And I'm not leaving here either until he leaves with me.
Joe, what are you doing? Something wrong with your gun?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. It works. I just want to be sure everything's okay when my car gets here.
Joe, couldn't
relax,
you
talk with... baby. Relax. Like I've been telling you, I heard what you told the cops on the phone. I just can't take any more chances with you. So when the car comes, we'll take a ride in the country.
Joe, you really mean it? You really going to do this to me?
Sorry, baby, but I have to. I just can't trust you anymore. Right, there's the car now. Come on, get your hat on.
All right.
Wearing a cute one, huh?
Do you mind?
Wish you wouldn't. You look too pretty in it.
Well, then maybe...
It's not going to make any difference. Come on, I'll get your coat on and hurry.
I'm hurrying fast as I can.
Oh, yeah? You're taking your own sweet time.
Wouldn't you in a spot like this?
No, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't take it as calm as you either. You sure are taking this calm. Yeah, I got to give you credit, baby. You really don't seem scared.
I'm not.
No? See this gun?
Uh-huh.
One wacky move, and I'll let you have it here, and we'll forget about the ride. Now, come on, you got your coat on. Let's go. And take that pocketbook of yours with you. I don't want it around here.
Joe, please.
Come on, quit stalling.
Joe, you are serious. You are going to kill me.
You were serious when you called the cops. Come on, let's get it over with.
Sure, Joe. We'll get it over with right now.
What do you mean, we'll get it over with? Gee, baby. That wasn't right. That's not the way I planned it. Where'd you get the gun?
From my pocketbook. The one you made me pick up.
Open up! Open up in there. This is Inspector Faraday.
Just a moment.
What's going on in here?
Oh, you got here a little too late, Inspector. There's your firebug lying on the floor. I think he's dead.
You shot him, huh?
With this gun. Here, take it.
Okay.
And take me with it. I was afraid of him, but I'm not afraid of what you'll do to me. You see, I killed him in self-defense.
Blackie, this is Jean Marsh.
How do you do, Miss Marsh?
She just shot and killed a man she claims is the firebug.
How do you know he was the firebug, Miss Marsh?
First, because he told me so, Blackie. But I knew it before he told me. I heard him talking on the phone, arranging to set the fires.
On the phone? With whom?
The people who owned the buildings. They wanted the insurance money for their properties. And they paid him well.
Name the fires your husband set, Mrs. Marsh.
Well, I...
You were the firebug's wife?
Yes.
Oh.
I'd be his late wife if I hadn't had a gun in my purse.
Yes. We know all about that, Mrs. Marsh. Your self-defense plea will hold up. We found your husband with a gun still in his hand. Now, tell us what fires your husband set.
The one on Oak Street last week, that office building.
Uh-huh.
That abandoned hotel 2 nights later.
Yeah?
That garage on Sunday.
What about the one a couple of nights ago where that man was killed?
Yeah, he set that one, too. He even bragged about what a good job it was.
Mrs. Marsh, if you knew your husband was setting these fires last week, why did you wait until today to phone the police?
Well, he'd never killed anyone in a fire until the last one. Began to work on me, my husband a murderer. I couldn't let him go on and maybe kill someone else.
But you did let him set that fire at 624 Kenneth Street last night.
No, he didn't set that one.
How do you know?
Well, he wasn't working last night. He always told me when he did a job.
Your husband didn't set that fire on Kenneth Street last night?
That's what she said, Faraday.
Well, if he didn't, who did?
I know who did. Jim Gary.
Jim Gary? Who's he?
A man wanted for murder and robbery in Omaha 6 years ago, being sought by John Rodney, an insurance investigator.
The same John Rodney who had a room at Kenneth Street?
Mm-hmm. You know where he is now, don't you?
Sure. We found him in a hotel this morning. So this Gary set fire to that house on Kenneth Street. Why?
To destroy the only picture of Jim Gary in existence. Rodney had it in his room on Kenneth Street, and Gary knew it. Mrs. Marsh, your husband's real name wasn't Gary, was it?
No, Blackie. Marsh was his real name.
Are you sure?
Yes, I've known Joe since he was 16. We went to school together right here in the city. Joe never even been in Omaha.
It's too bad. For a minute, I thought I'd found Rodney's Jim Gary for him.
I don't know anyone in this town named Gary, or anyone in town wanted in Omaha for anything.
You wouldn't. But Gary's here, I'm positive. And so is Rodney. Now, if you just...
Wait a minute. Yeah?
Inspector Faraday?
Yes?
This is Lieutenant Barnes of the fire department.
Oh, yes.
You asked for a report on that fire on Kenner Street. Well, the building just cooled down enough for us to make an investigation.
Good. Did you find anything?
Nothing we didn't suspect in the first place. It was incendiary, all right. Started in the hallway and the second floor. No trace of who started it, though.
Okay, Chief. I've got some news for you, but I'll call you back. Thanks for the report.
No trouble. Bye.
Bye. Well, Blackie, the fire department finally got into that house on Kenner Street and found out it was arson.
Yes, I heard the conversation. Well, guess Rodney was right in his report. See you later.
Hey, Blackie, where are you going?
Well, all of a sudden, I know exactly where to find the man Rodney is looking for. Hello, Rodney.
Well, Blackie, come in.
Thanks.
What are you all smiles about?
I have some good news for you, Rodney.
Oh, you have? Oh, about Jim Gary?
I think so.
Well, it's nice to get some encouragement. Inspector Faraday down at headquarters says I'll never find Gary, even if I look for him another 5 years.
Faraday's been wrong about a lot of things, a lot of times.
Well, I know he's wrong about this. Oh, maybe I am sort of temporarily stopped by the loss of that picture in the fire last night, but I'll find Gary just the same, because I'm never going to stop looking for him.
I know you're not, Rodney. And I'm going to help you find him, too.
Well, thanks. I'd appreciate that. But maybe you'll run out of patience, Blackie. I may be looking for him for a long time.
You don't have to look for him, Rodney, because you're the man you're looking for. You're Jim Gary. Surprised?
Yeah.
Do you know how I know you're Jim Gary?
Do you know I am?
Yes. Now, I'll tell you how I know. That report on the fire you sent to your company... You revealed the origin of the fire in that report.
Yeah, I did.
Too bad you did, Rodney. Or maybe I should start calling you Gary now. Because you filed your report this morning, and it wasn't until this afternoon the building cooled off enough for the fire department to go into it.
Oh, I see.
No, I see. You had no way of knowing where that fire started unless you started it yourself. And I know why you started it yourself. To destroy the last bit of evidence that you were Jim Gary, the man you've been looking for.
You're very clever, Blackie. I want to congratulate you.
And I want to warn you, Gary, don't reach for anything, a gun, a knife, or anything to throw at me. This gun of mine throws bullets awful fast.
Really?
Yes. Just don't try anything.
No. I'm not going to try anything, Blackie. But I don't think I'm going anywhere with you.
Oh, yes, you are. Come on.
Oh, no, Blackie. I don't think so. You're right about everything but one. I'm not coming with you.
Oh, but you are.
Oh, Blackie, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but... I've taken... poison.
Gary. Gary! What a guy he must have been. He just couldn't stand being himself.
Blackie, my name is Adams. I'm with the National Insurance Company.
Oh, yes, Adams. I think your man Rodney mentioned you a couple of times. You were his boss, I think.
Yes, I'm the one who gave him his job with the company. He was a clever man, Blackie.
Yes, he was. Getting a job, looking for himself, was a swell idea.
He was clever and he was patient. He waited almost a year and proved himself to be a good investigator before he asked to be put on the Jim Gary case. And he seemed to be so resourceful that we put him on that one case exclusively.
Getting that photograph of himself from his grandmother was certainly a stroke of genius. That was the last possible clue to his real identity. He didn't destroy it then because he was afraid his grandmother might report that she'd given him the picture.
Yes, that's right.
Were you suspicious when he reported that the picture had been lost in the fire?
Not a bit. I trusted the man implicitly. That man was a marvel, Blackie.
Yes, he was brilliant, all right. But like all men whose minds are twisted, Jim Gary couldn't take it when things were turned against him.
For Case Closed this week. You can find more from Sherlock Holmes, Boston Blackie, Case Closed, and everything Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream available there. And if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, click on that donate button. We've got some downloadable collections for certain donation amounts, though any amount is greatly appreciated. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.